Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard from thedraftnetwork.com, along with Trevor Sikkema, also from thedraftnetwork.com. Here on a Thursday morning, ready to talk some NFC East, talk about the offseason outlook for the NFC East. Trevor, a lot going on in this division. I think Eagles fans would be upset, and probably rightfully so, if we said that the Cowboys are favorites to repeat as division champs. But would you agree with that sentiment? Would you say Dallas is the front runner?
I just want to know if you're going to get biblical again in this podcast.
I might. We'll see where the Lord leads me.
Boy, that's a real tough spot you're putting me in, because
I intentionally
you're forcing
made you go first.
Me to support Dak Prescott this early in the episode.
Yes.
And I'm not going to do it.
So the Eagles are the front runner.
You know, I'm not going to say the words out loud, but I'll silently nod in your direction.
Sure. You know, it's funny you say in your direction, because I know there are like a lot of people that listen to the podcast and they think of us being in the same room when we do the podcast.
Do they really think we're in the same
room? Oh, I've had multiple people tell me that. And they just don't like that when I tell them, they're like, oh, that makes sense. But like, they don't really think about where we are and the fact that we're like, I'm in Pennsylvania and you're in Florida when we do this. So they just kind of think of it that way. So didn't actually nod in my direction.
It's a long distance relationship, folks.
That's right. Exactly. Okay. Let's start with should we start with the Dallas Cowboys then, since you brought up?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
Let's
because I know. So Dak Prescott, quarterback of the future here, right?
Yeah. Biggest needs, obviously quarterback.
Oh my. Cowboys fans just unsubscribing from the podcast at will. I mean, I agree with you in some ways that obviously the Dak isn't the guy. Like, I don't know that you can get to the peak with Dak, but obviously he's the guy for now, and they're probably going to give him a long-term deal. So
how much longer do you mess around with it, though? Right? Because you are a guy who, correct me if I'm wrong, you basically think that if you're not taking a quarterback in the first round, it's sort of pointless, you know?
Right.
Like, it just doesn't really –
Unless you're looking for, like, a great backup.
Yeah, or you're literally just taking a flyer on a dude that you can't really put any kind of stock in.
Right.
So until you take a quarterback in the first round with a first-round pick, you're not really being serious about making any kind of a change at quarterback to the draft, which I kind of agree with. I mean, the logic's totally there for that. So if you're the Cowboys, and we'll get to their actual draft needs for this year in a second, but like, if Dak is not the guy, and the whole point is for you to win a Super Bowl, how much longer? Like, this offensive line is great. Ezekiel Elliott is great. You now have Amari Cooper, who is rejuvenated, like totally the Amari Cooper that we thought he would be. How much longer do you let it play?
At least one more year.
Well, first, you know, I don't think there's any doubt about that. Right. Dak's not, I don't think, like, in jeopardy or anything like that. But, like, do you think the Cowboys would seriously, like, let's say the Cowboys, would they finish this year? What was their record? What was the Cowboys' record?
10-6? 9-7? 10-6, I think.
Okay, what if the Cowboys go 8-8 and miss the playoffs?
It depends how he plays. Let's just be honest. It has to depend how he plays. But if they do, they go 8-8 and miss the playoffs. Jason Garrett's probably gone.
How much longer do we have to talk about context with Dak?
Probably a long time, because context matters, especially for
no. But I mean, like, context within like what Dak's ceiling is. Like, Dak wins when you have an efficient game, not like takeover games.
Well, you have to think about it from our perspective, which, in my opinion, you know, I don't think Dak is that guy. And as long as that continues to be proven true, then I think they should start to consider looking for another quarterback. You also have to be in position in the draft to address the need and acquire a player better than Dak Prescott. I'm not convinced there is one in this class, and I'm not convinced that there will be one in next year's class either. We'll see how.
Well, now for sure, next, because they don't have a pick. But,
right. Yeah. So I think that you know, there's a lot to consider there too. But I mean, from the Cowboys' perspective, I think they're trying to sign Dak long term, and he'd have to really be bad for that to stop.
Dak has already had a better career than I thought that he would have.
Sure.
Like, literally, even like for what it is right now, Dak has already had a better. So like.
Right.
Good for Dak. I just don't know how much higher I push the ceiling. Anyways, but we can actually talk about their draft needs now.
I mean, some people would say right tackle's in the mix there. I still like Lael Collins. I know there are moments where he struggles, but I still think he's fine. I still think he's a good right tackle for the NFL, and it takes a while for offensive linemen. And this was only his second year starting, and I thought he played better. So I'm fine with their offensive line, to be honest. Obviously, Connor Williams is the future at left guard. I have always had my doubts about Connor Williams. But I do think that in Dallas, if you can't develop with those guys around you, you know, you're really got no hope, I think. So you're set on the offensive line, you're set at running back, you're obviously the number one need, I think, is an offensive weapon in the passing game, whether it's a receiver or tight end, maybe one of both. But this offense needs a tight end, and they don't have a first-round pick. So I know a lot of people have written about this, and our boy KT, Kevin Turner, covering the Cowboys for The Athletic, wrote about this. Isaac Nauta in the second round makes so much sense for this team, and I know we've a lot of people have been saying that for a while, but it's because it's true. He can block, he can run routes, he can go vertical. He plays with a little bit of an edge to him. I think he's the ideal kind of guy that they would look for in this offense, to be honest. So that's an option for you with that first pick.
That's a decent option.
Wide receivers are going to be plentiful in that range, too. So they're going to have still get to be able to get a good player without having a first-round pick.
What is their pick? What number is their pick? Do we have it up?
58, I think.
58. Mm-hmm. Okay, that would be pushing it. They'd be pushing it for Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah, that'd probably be pushing it for Jeffrey Simmons.
That'd be pushing it.
Yeah. It is going to be interesting to see what they do with the interior defensive line. David Irving's probably not back there. Just too much smoke in that situation. Malik Collins, do they trust him?
Malik Collins, man.
I don't. I think he's very average.
Come on.
I'm not a fan. I'm not.
I thought he played great at the end of the year.
I mean, I couldn't say that I specifically watched him at the end of the year per se, but in his career, man, I've seen a good bit of him in college and the NFL, and I haven't seen
him. I thought Malik was great at the end of last year. I really did.
Well, maybe and he's a guy for the future there.
I kind of had a little bit of a soft spot for him, even like early on. I was like, okay, I could stand for this guy a little bit. Not that I thought he was going to be like a super high pick, but like a lower guy that I was a fan of that you would call like my guys or whatever. I kind of like Collins. And so as he was coming through for the Cowboys, I was like, oh, he's a nice rotational thing. And so when I was like, he was balling out, I thought, when I was watching the Cowboys late in the year. So,
well, maybe he's one of the guys. Antoine Woods has played well. I still think they're getting interior defensive line help. I still think that's a priority for them. But
also, well, this class kind of lends itself to it, right?
It does, yeah. And you also have the weird situation at edge where Randy Gregory, are you banking on another year? Is he playing big snaps? Taco Charlton just hasn't like panned out at all, man. I mean, 2 years of just absolutely nothing from him, and I don't know that you're going to get much more. So they've got some decisions to make in both of those spots. I think they have good talent there. Obviously, DeMarcus Lawrence, too, a free agent. So I'm sure you're tagging him or at least giving him or maybe giving him big money, but either way, he's back. So I don't think it's like the first need of 58 to take one of those positions, but it will be down through the draft, something to prioritize. The good news is you're set at linebacker. The odd part of evaluating the Cowboys is what to think of the secondary, because Byron Jones started off the season great. I don't care what anybody in Dallas says. I watched a lot of him down the stretch of the season. He did not finish the season strong at all. Was he horrible? No, but he wasn't anywhere close to as good as he started the season. That's kind of been Byron Jones' thing. He's just not super consistent. He'll be really up and down and all over the place, kind of. So, obviously, he's going to be one corner for next year. Owuzie played fine, but he gave up so many catches last year. I worry about him a little bit. No, I worry. I don't know in the nickel. Like, Jordan Lewis, I thought he was going to be, like, their best corner this year, and then he didn't even end up playing, and it was just But when he played, I thought he played fine. And everybody in Dallas kind of agreed when I would ask him. I'd be like, what's the deal, man? Like, what, can this guy play or can he not? And so, that's going to be another one they're going to have to figure out. Basically, it's all about what do you believe in the group that you've drafted? Because they drafted Byron Jones, they drafted Xavier Woods, they drafted Jadobi Awuzie, Anthony Brown, Jordan Lewis, Kayvon Frazier, and now it's time for these guys to either play big snaps or you need to replace them. And that might be a safety too.
Yeah, they're in that little teetering point where we've talked about this on this show before. Like, your chips are kind of on the table, but they're like, I think they are with certain secondary members, but this is like the make or break year where they either cash in on it or they're cutting their ties. They've got to start moving on from guys.
I think if you ask Cowboys fans, they would say their number two, their first top two needs are to get an offensive weapon in the passing game, either a tight end or a wide receiver. Most probably saying tight end and a strong safety, somebody to play with Xavier Woods.
Really? Okay.
Because they like Woods.
I would have said offensive weapon and interior defensive line.
That could be a possibility too.
If you ask Cowboys fans, that's
probably depends. Yeah, probably depends who you talk to. But either way, I think it's a deep safety class and a deep interior defensive line class. In fact, they might be able to get a good player, because remember, they don't really need, like, they haven't taken many first round players on the interior defensive line. I don't know that it's that kind of priority for them. They think Marinelli can get the most out of those guys,
you know, if Cowboys,
they take them in the mid rounds.
You know what Cowboys fans are hoping?
What?
They're hoping that J.J. Arcega-Whiteside has a terrible day at the combine.
Oh, my goodness.
And just tanks it. But somehow isn't actually bad. And they get to take him.
At 58?
No. Okay. With their next,
I was going to say, you don't need him to take the combine. He'll be there.
No, they don't have to. Right. I don't think the reason I say that is because I don't think they can afford to take him at 58. They have to take something else.
91.
Yeah. Hmm. No, 91's too late.
I don't. Is it, though?
Well, I mean, I'm an Arcega-Whiteside stan, so.
That's true.
Yeah.
It might be too late.
Don't try to box me into a corner and make me say something I don't want to say. I'm trying to help Cowboys fans out here.
Would be an interesting fit in that.
Jeffrey Simmons, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, it would be the ideal draft. Flourish.
Wow. You're getting Cowboys fans excited. Let's talk about the New York Giants.
Follow me on Twitter, Cowboys fans, at Tampa Bay Trey.
Odell Beckham Jr. getting traded? Don't we do this every year? I mean, every single offseason. It's just absurd. Like, what are we doing?
Just trade him.
Just let it end. New York media cannot help themselves, man. They love to hate people.
Odell deserves to be in New York.
Odell for AB straight up. Who says no?
Probably everybody involved.
Yeah, that's actually probably true. Wide receiver. Honestly, I don't think wide receiver is a huge need because obviously Odell. If they trade Odell, then it obviously is. But
who's trading Odell?
The Giants. Jay Glazer came out and said it today. He said he expects him to be traded this offseason. And then Odell tweets out the little weird emojis that everybody's reading.
Wait. Who said this?
Jay Glazer said this. This isn't some New York.
That's what he was freaking out about.
Who, Glazer? Yeah, that's what he was cussing everybody out.
Oh, that's why he was cussing everybody out.
Yeah, he lost his marbles. By the way, doesn't he work for Fox? Are you allowed to say all those things there? I guess so.
I think he works for The Athletic now, right?
Both. Well, he did do stuff with The Athletic, but it's not his bio anymore. I don't know if he got the boot. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on. Maybe he tweeted that and then he said.
He got fired for using profanity.
A very profanity-ridden tirade on Twitter to all the people that have, I don't even know. But anyway, so he's the one that said it. And honestly, as much as Glazer is a lot to handle.
Well, he's right a lot.
Right, exactly. He's right a lot. So I don't know. It's interesting. Anyway, if they trade Odell, obviously wide receivers need. If they don't, I think they're fine with one of the guys they have in the raw. As long as they bring back Fowler, Latimer. You know, Latimer's weirdest career ever, but he's actually flashed there when he's been healthy. Even Corey Coleman looked good, dude, when he was on the field. Like, I don't understand
take
that.
Take the Tampa game out.
You can't bank on it, but it's not a big priority for this.
Take the Tampa game out.
I can't. That's quality competition, MJ
That's
Stewart.
That is my every time you mention any player, I'm just going to start saying, like, hey, he actually had a surprisingly good. I'm just going to tell you, take the Tampa game out.
They didn't even play Tampa. Take it
out. They were in. Was he on the team when they were?
I think he was. I don't remember.
I do too. I think he was too.
Yeah,
I think he caught like a bunch of pets. I'm looking this up. All right, keep going.
I think you're probably right. He had one good game. But anyway, so they've got to figure out the third wide receiver position, but it's not like a big priority for them. The biggest priority for the Giants is fixing the offensive line. Like, I don't care about seeing.
Oh, dude. Corey Coleman went off.
What'd he do?
54. One catch, 9 yards. Just devastated
him. Wow. What was the good game he had? Who was it against? Okay, he had a good game.
All right, hold please.
A good Corey Coleman game.
I'm looking this up. Sorry.
I remember we had one. It was in there. I remember I tweeted it. I DM'd it to Kyle, and he was like freaking out.
His best game this season. Are you ready for it?
Yes.
A 40-16 absolute walloping in the nation's capital at Washington.
Josh Johnson.
Went absolutely off for 43 smacking yards on two catches.
And he caught a touchdown, right?
Nope.
Well, one of the games he caught a touchdown this season.
Nope.
I swear, dude, he caught a touchdown. Are you sure?
Look, you can swear as much as Jay Glazer, but it didn't happen. Wow,
well said. Anyway, the offensive line is what the Giants really need to fix. I think they've got holes at right tackle, center can be upgraded, right guard can be upgraded. I think you need one or two starters in the offseason, to be honest. And that is where I believe. Somebody asked me recently, I did an interview for a Giants website, and they asked, if you were the Giants, where would you spend your first-round pick? And I was like, right tackle. Not even a question. Just good players at right tackle. Jonah Williams can play over there. Jawan Taylor can play over there. Cody Ford can play over there. Get a right tackle, man. Like, finish this offensive line, because you don't have a – if Saquon's – if you want to build your team in the running game, you need a good offensive line. If you want Eli Manning to stay alive and to be a successful quarterback in today's NFL, too bad, it's not going to happen. But if there's any chance of it happening, he's got to be really well protected. There's just no – like, that's the position. And the whole defense needs rebuilt. I get it. But you got to finish that offensive line, man. You're not stopping anybody next year anyway. So if you're trying to win next year – you got to put up points, and to do that, you got to have a way better offensive line than what you've put out there the last few years. So, I'm just tired of the Giants kind of like, you know, not going all in on fixing the offensive line. I think Gettleman gets that. I think Gettleman values the offensive line.
You hope.
That's his baby, you know. He wants the line play to be good. So, I bet you're seeing somebody on the lines. That's what I think.
Cody Ford.
Cody Ford's a distinct possibility. You imagine Cody Ford, right tackle or right guard, wherever they put him. Mm-hmm. Him and Will Hernandez on the same offensive line.
What if they go Cody Ford first round, Eric McCoy second round?
Or Chris Lindstrom second round.
I don't think Chris Lindstrom – somebody was talking about this today. I don't think Chris Lindstrom's going to be in the second round.
You think he's going to go first?
I mean, like, the Vikings in Houston, like, have to take an interior guard.
No, Houston's taking a tackle.
Who are you taking if it's not
They're taking a tackle, brother.
So you think one team in the first round needs a tackle or an interior guard?
Oh, no. I'm sure there are more, but I'm just saying Houston needs one. They're just taking a tackle. Like,
so Houston's just going to take Reisner?
I don't know. Reisner, one of the guys, if they fall, Greg Little maybe if he's there.
He ain't going to fall. Oh, Greg Little. Okay, get out of here. Yeah,
Jonah
okay.
Williams if he falls. You know,
Jonah Williams is going to...
I don't know, man. I'm just trying to tell you, like, some teams see him as a guard. Maybe the Texans aren't one of those teams, and he's there, and they take him as a tackle.
Yeah, well, some teams trade for Joe Flacco.
Aaron Rodgers fell, man. Don't tell me crazy.
Shout out John Gruden. Thank you for that. Thank you for that, John.
Defensively, the Giants definitely need a pass rusher. That's something they've got to consider early, I think. Yep. Vernon is cheeks and the rest of the cream. Dude, people honestly try and talk to me about Kareem Martin like he's an impact player. I can't. Just stop. I think Vernon, obviously, you consider moving on from him in the offseason if he can. Lorenzo Carter's part of the future there, but certainly didn't show anything last year to make you think he can be a number one guy. I almost wonder if mm-hmm. they need to go out and get a pass rusher in free agency if they're going to, like, they're just, I don't think Carter makes that leap in year two, and they just don't have a guy. It's hard to bank on a rookie, especially if you're not taking one in your first, with your first pick. So.
Right. And I like Dalvin and BJ in the middle.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Those are your two. I mean, I know they felt good about B.J. Hill. That's why they moved on from Snacks. So, but the whole secondary needs rebuilt too. And Landon Collins is a free agent, and I've heard there's no guarantee that he sticks around.
That's dangerous. That's going to be dangerous. And then for how much? What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say Janoris Jenkins is probably – you're probably moving on from him. I mean,
I'm about to look up that right now.
Yeah, they can get out of that deal. I'm pretty sure. Minimal hit.
$7 million the hit.
Are you short seven?
It says dead cap $7 million.
What's he cost?
14.
Dead cap. That's more than I thought it was.
And the year after, it's 3.5.
Well, are you sure you're looking at 2019? Did I switch over?
Okay. All right. I thought it was less. Double check.
No, you're right. 2019.
All right. $7 million. Well, I looked at a different site, and guess what?
Still $7 million.
Same numbers.
Still think they cut him. Still think they cut him or trade him.
Man, no. Woo.
He doesn't help your team. He just doesn't.
But who did they got behind him?
Nobody. That's the thing. They don't. But he's not good either. So I'd rather pay bad players to for cheap than I would spend money. I don't know.
Yeah. Either maybe you're right.
They need two corners. They need a free safety. They are in a mess. They need a lot of different things. You got to be active in free agency. But I would not give big deals just to fill positions to make you competitive. Well,
if they need an edge rusher as bad as you're saying, if they don't hit one in free agency, then they're...
Well, let's just be honest. You look at this roster and you're like, this team has to trade down, right? They can't stay where they are. Like, they need picks. They need players. I just think
they can't trade down that far, though. Because, like, the reason why you would trade down is because you would want to get more players to help better holes. But, like, I'm bringing this up. If you need an edge rusher, you can't wait. Like, I talked about that in my Sweet Spots article when I wrote that a couple weeks ago. Like, if you need an edge rusher, there's guys to get in the second and third round, but they ain't going to make an impact.
Right.
If you don't get one in the first round, you're basically not filling the need.
You know what they got to do? They got to tell Jacksonville, if you don't come up to six and give us something,
we're taking Miami's, Haskins.
Miami's, or that, yeah. Or Miami's coming up.
They're just coming hold up to Haskins at gunpoint.
It's just like the Bears and the 49ers, a couple of picks higher. Remember, the 49ers were like, no, there's a lot of people want this spot. Come get it. And then the Bears jumped up to get Trubisky, and then there was like nobody else was trying to trade up there. It came out after the draft.
I would love to be in a war room just to hear people lie.
Just to pull one finesse
through
off.
Their teeth.
Yeah, I hear you on that. All right, the Philadelphia Eagles. Man, this is the hardest roster to figure out right now. I just don't think this is easy. Okay, so they need a running back, but... Also, they've had like 100 dudes be successful there.
No, they don't need a running back.
I mean, so they technically need a running back, but isn't going to be a top priority. But they're going to draft one, and he's probably going to play big carry.
They're going to draft. Where you draft one in day three? That's not a need.
But it's still a need. They're just choosing to fill it with a day three pick. It's clearly a need. The only guy they have on the roster for next year is Corey Clement and Wendell Smallwood.
And Josh Adams.
Yeah, those guys can't be your guys.
They're going to play fine for Philly.
You telling me that you would be comfortable going into a season with Corey Clement, Josh Adams, and Wendell Smallwood?
If I'm Philly, yes.
No way. Yes. You're absolutely adding a running back to that group. No question about it.
Sure, day three, because it's not really a need.
It's a need. It's just not a crying need.
You're just going to keep doing this for another 20 minutes?
Oh, my gosh. Offensive line, I feel like they can upgrade some spots, particularly left guard. We've been saying that for a while, though. The bigger need is probably... what's going to be the future at left tackle? Jason Peters hasn't been able to stay healthy. He's slowing down some. Is Jordan Mayata or whatever his name is going to be ready? Who was a 7th-round pick and was kind of exciting in the preseason, but I would be shocked if he's ready to go. So tackle's a priority in some capacity this offseason. But then there's also the question of wide receiver. Like, do you re-sign Golden Tate for this team? I know he's tweeting about it a little bit that, we could be negotiating right now, but we aren't, and it doesn't sound like the Eagles are that interested. I don't know that I'd re-sign him. He wasn't very good there. Like, nothing really happened, and it's not like he's young or got his best football ahead of him, you know?
How old is Golden Tate?
I don't know. He's on the wrong side of 30 for sure.
I mean, that's all. I have no idea how much.
He'll be 31 in August.
I have no idea how much money he wants, so... I mean, that's the whole context.
I wouldn't.
There.
I'd look for another option.
I think Golden Tate, I'm probably higher on Golden Tate than you are. I've always thought that he's just a weird gadget player that I would hate to play against. That's what I think of when I think of Golden Tate. And so I think that that kind of player has use for probably two more seasons, especially in Philly with how creative they like to get with what they do. I think the Golden Tate's a good spot there, but it all depends on how much money he wants.
I think he's cooked. I think he's going to be out of the league in like the next 2 years.
Okay.
It's my hot take for the podcast. But I think wide receiver is a need for them, relative need. But that's the thing. Like you said, running back's kind of a need, but it's not something you want to prioritize high. You have to find a left tackle for the future, or a right tackle if Lane Johnson's going to go to the left side. But either way, is it now? You know, is Jason Peters going to call it after this year? Is he even going to be able to stay healthy? How do you gauge that? I think you have to have a really intricate knowledge of his situation to really say how high of a priority it is. But then you also switch the defensive side of the ball, and that's where a lot of people are mocking them needs right now and talking about needing another player, whether it's on the inside or, you know, I think it's funny. Like, Jeffrey Simmons goes there all the time in mocks, right? Christian Wilkins all the time in mocks. They have Fletcher Cox and Tim Jernigan and Michael Bennett. Like, they're not, like, hurting for interior guys, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Even if Filoni Nata doesn't come back, like, they've still got good options. So it's like clearly not the biggest need, but at the same time, this has always been a team that has loaded the defensive line, and maybe it's an edge guy. I mean, you're losing Brandon Graham probably this offseason, so you've got Barnett. And
well, what's going to happen with Josh Sweat?
He's starting next year. I mean,
okay.
I don't know.
So, I mean,
I hope so. I wish. That'd be great. I mean, he's good, I think, but I have no idea if he's ready for that or not, but we'll have to see. I mean, hopefully.
Because like I said, like, yeah, I mean, I'm with you. We hear interior off there. We hear just kind of defensive line for them all the time, but you just named off the guys. And I'm looking at their roster without the dudes who
the edge guys are the weak.
They could lose in free agency, and it's like, okay, I mean, they still have dudes. Like, I'm not
sure.
Like, they still have Derek Barnett. They have Josh Sweat. You don't know what you have in him yet. So it's not, it's like you're taking a risk there, but are you going to invest draft capital, like high draft capital in that? Because I'm probably not. I'm probably going elsewhere and just seeing what happens with the guys that you played out that you already drafted.
Feels like the Eagles really are, like, this next year is going to determine whether they can kind of bounce back. I mean, I know they made it deeper in the playoffs than we kind of thought they would, but they weren't really good most of the season. And this next season is going to be huge. Like, are you going to be that contender year after year that it looked like you would be right after you won the Super Bowl? Because mm-hmm. now all of a sudden cracks are showing up all over the roster, and this offseason is going to be a real testament to whether you can reload or not. We haven't even gotten to linebacker where Jordan Hicks is injured all the time, even though he's good, and you probably let him go. But again, a lot of tough situations with them. Ronald Darby has been injured some as well. You drafted Sidney Jones. You want to be able to let Ronald Darby go. You drafted Rasul Douglas. Those are supposed to be the guys. Jones played a good bit last year, really wasn't great. And Rasul Douglas has been super hot and mostly cold. Malcolm Jenkins is getting up there. Rodney McLeod's coming off a season-ending injury. Feels like there are so many unknowns here. You know Jalen Mills probably can't be counted on again, so when do you prioritize corner? I mean, low-key, the Eagles either have a ton of needs or they have a ton of young players that are about to play at a really high level, like Sweat and like Sidney Jones.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
You know
what
I mean? It's like it's that year where you're like, I have doubts about tons of position groups on this team, but I don't know if I'm ready to say they're needs because there are young guys I need to see more of at certain spots that could potentially step up and be the guys.
That's a good way to put their roster. I'm with you.
Okay, Washington quickly to finish things off. Quarterback. It's got to be primary need, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, if they don't trade up from 15 in this 2019 is pointless.
Yeah.
That's what I got.
Right. And you brought back
Gruden. If you don't trade up from 2015, then 2019's entire season, from 15, 2019 doesn't matter.
And you decided to bring back Gruden, so you clearly think you can compete, right? This doesn't feel like a rebuild situation. Otherwise, it would have been weird to keep him around. Mm-hmm. So you feel like the roster's there and you need the quarterback. So how does it happen now? Does it happen in free agency? Does it happen, you know, who is the guy that they – like, I just can't see a guy out there being like
– What if Washington did the thing that you wanted the Niners to do?
Traded for Antonio Brown?
Yeah, and then drafted a quarterback.
I can't see them trading for Antonio Brown after cutting DJ Swearinger for saying that the coaches – what did he say? I don't even know. But if they thought Swearinger was a problem – Welcome to Antonio Brown.
No, new home, baby. New home. New him.
Yikes. I can't see that happening. Also, what are they going
to
do?
Look, man, I'm trying to fix Washington, okay?
What are they going to do with quarterback?
Draft one.
Who? At 15? Or you trade not?
Kyler.
Because if you do that, then you're going to need the assets you traded for Brown.
Draft Kyler.
At 15? You think he'll be there? Who knows?
Oh, probably not.
Actually. So that's what I mean. The Washington's in this just horrendous place, right?
It's
Alex
not
Smith,
great.
Trade for him. Oh, a ton of money. Boom, there goes maybe his career. You know, mess around with Cousins for a while. Not that he would even been the savior, but now you're in this situation where you've like could have moved on from Cousins and drafted a quarterback in the past, but instead just like have flirted with mediocrity just constantly. And now it's come back to bite him because they're going to be horrible next year probably unless they figure this thing out in a way that surprises all of us. The best chance to do that is through the draft. But how aggressive do you have to be, man? I mean, this really Washington hasn't been known to be this wheeling and dealing team. You know what I mean? They're not like some of these other teams out there that are trying to like move all around and make a bunch of things happen on draft weekend. That's like not their MO, right? I just think this could be like one of those situations where you look at Washington and you're like, how does this team compete next year? Like, I'm not like, they don't have a ton of picks. They have a first, a second, and a third. They don't have a fourth. They have a fifth. They have a seventh. That's it. They only have five picks in the whole draft.
No, but they get a. Did they get a third?
They might get comp picks.
They get a third for Cousins.
Yeah.
Right?
They have a first, a second, and a third this year's draft.
But no, I'm saying like.
Tankathon's wrong.
No, they'll get a comp pick for Cousins. It'll be a third round pick.
I don't know what they're expected to get for comp picks.
Let me look.
Yeah, they might. They did publish that somewhere, but it is super hard to find them. So maybe they get a comp pick, and that helps them and make a move. But, man, if you're going from 15 inside the top 10, that's a
jump. Yeah, Washington's getting a third rounder and a fifth rounder and a sixth rounder.
Oh, so they're going to get a lot of comp picks.
Yeah.
Huh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're probably giving up next year's first. I mean, you're probably giving up a good bit.
All right, here's what you do. Here's what you do. You trade 15 in next year's first and your comp third round pick to get up to five with the Bucks to pick whatever quarterback you want in the class. And then you trade the second rounder for Antonio Brown. Flourish.
A lot going on there. You'd have to trade up. You'd have to trade next year's first for sure. And probably a third this year.
They have to get close to five. I really do think that's what Washington has to do.
This is going to be a fascinating offseason for Washington. They would love to just sit right at 15 and draft every year, but now you've almost got to make a move. Otherwise, I mean, Washington's not really usually picking in the top three. You know what I mean? Like,
they're always mediocre,
right?
Yeah.
And now, if they don't make a move, they're going to be bad, like bad. If they can't find a quarterback,
maybe this is what they want: draft Tua next year.
Maybe that is what they want. We'll see. The wide receiver position could definitely use addressing. They need a player there. The interior offensive line, center, left guard, been in issues for years. Absolutely needs as well. But again, it all just kind of pales in comparison to needing a quarterback. And I think they're okay in the secondary. There's some young guys that we need to see a little bit more of. I'm not saying they're all stars or anything, but they've got a lot of young guys they've drafted that we need to see how they play this season and how things work itself out. They're okay defensively. They can improve some spots, but given their needs on offense and the interior of that offensive line, maybe find another weapon at a wide receiver and mainly quarterback, which isn't going to leave them with many draft picks if they make a move up with one. I just think this is probably going to be the defense you basically see. I don't know that there are going to be a lot of changes. You know what I mean?
Which I don't hate. I kind of like their defense.
Yeah,
but
it's fine. You know, I would try and bring back Preston Smith, to be honest. He's a good player. And really, you can't afford to have a hole with pass rusher. You've got Kerrigan on one side, and you've got absolutely nobody else on your roster.
Kerrigan, low-key, having a, like, on-pace Hall of Fame career, which is, like, the oddest thing that I ever looked at. Somebody told me that one time, and I'm like, bro, shut up. And I went and looked at his stats, and I, like, went basically along, like, okay, well, if he averages a certain amount of what he's had, including, like, the early times in his career, and I'm like, oh, my God. He's a Hall of Famer. Like, it's crazy.
Well,
what the like trajectory he's on.
Let me look at the all-time sacks, but it's pretty. He's up there for sure. What has he had? He is
looking
right
up,
now.
I'm looking
84
up Kerrigan's
and a
stats.
Half sacks. The craziest
that's,
thing.
That's
84
insane,
and a half sacks.
Dude.
Yeah, he had 13 and a half in 2014.
Bro,
he had 9 and a half in 2015. Then 11, 13, and 13. He's getting better.
He has never had less than 7.5 sacks in his career.
And that was his rookie season. 7.5, 8.5, 8.5, 13.5, 9.5, 11, 13, 13. Quietly dominant.
The most low-key Hall of Fame career you're ever going to see.
Also has never missed a game in his career. Never missed a game. Absolute iron.
Wow, you're right.
Never missed a game in his career. Dude is just an absolute tank. And if you look up his splits against divisional opponents, crazy. He dominates in the division. The absolute biggest games.
No,
it's crazy.
Low-key Hall of Famer.
I mean, I'm telling you, he's not far off. What's the mark here? Okay, so 84 and a half. If he keeps playing.
How many years he got left in him? What do you think?
How old is he right now?
He's never missed
a game.
30
years old right
now.
He turns 31 in August 16th.
In August.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, this pace, we'll see if he falls off. I want to say he's got three more in him. And
I would have said four, so.
Three or four. Okay, so he's got his conditioning so good. Never miss a game. No injury history. Might have four in him. Let's say he gets seven sacks over those 4 years. That's 28 sacks. That puts him at, what, 100 and
112 and a half
career sacks. That would be pretty high on the all-time list. Hang on, stand by.
Are you looking this up?
I'll tell you exactly how high he is. He'd be 23rd all-time in sacks. If that's the number, if it's just seven, he could go above that. He could get to like, there's a jump to 21, but he's going to be real close to Simeon Rice by the time he wraps it up. As long as he doesn't like retire.
That's
early or
so crazy.
Like that. Yeah. He could crack the top 20. It's legitimate. What 122 is number 20. Simeon Rice is 20th all time.
Nobody talks about this guy, man.
Yeah, I know. He's 38 sacks off of that. So all he has to do is for 4 years, let's say 4 years, 38.
I'm testing your math here.
He has to average 9.5 sacks. Last 2 years, he's at 13. Year before that, he had 11. He has to average 9.5 sacks for 4 years. He's going to be in the top 20 all time sack leaders. Nobody talks about him. It's crazy. Ryan Kerrigan, ladies and gentlemen.
This is a Ryan Kerrigan fan podcast.
Absolutely. No question about it.
We're trying to spread the truth about Ryan Kerrigan.
There you go. There's your look at the NFC East and how the teams in that division could face the rest of their offseason. We'll be back tomorrow. We've got a little NFC South action heading your way. We'll talk about that division. We'll talk about Trevor's division a little bit. Until then, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.